I'm hoping that what people walk away from this talk is really the understanding of what's available to them. Microsoft offers a broad platform with many pieces and components, but seeing how a solution comes together, I hope excites people and gets them to really want to build a platform of their own, either as something that they're going to resell to others, so a solution that they will resell, or something that they integrate into their applications to make really engaging applications, as you can see with the face APIs or the predictive analytics capabilities. If you add these to your application, it adds some extra excitement to the application, something novel, something new that will really hopefully catch their customers' interest. And now we're going to look at sort of cloud computing, as well as specifically around the area of doing intelligent applications and analytics. Now, how many of you have a background in data analytics, business, machine learning, those type of areas? Okay, a decent amount. How many of you are aware that Microsoft actually has a big data analytics platform in the cloud? All right, that's good. So the word's getting out. My name is Vivek Gupta. My position is senior data scientist at Microsoft. So my job at Microsoft is really about helping customers understand how they can use the Cortana Intelligence Suite in order to solve business problems. So really help them see what all the components are, how they fit together, and then actually produce a solution that's made for their industry. If we go back some time, we started with form applications that directly connected to a database. So going back 20 years, come forward a little bit, we started having web applications in 2000 and form applications both connecting to the same database. Come forward a little bit more, you started having AJAX scripts and things, so things that were live and updating continuously so that you could watch them and see them change on the web or on desktop applications. Then we added mobile applications. You started seeing the three tiers and seeing a lot of variety of applications, things that had to refresh at different rates, had different requirements, different front ends and presentations. To now, we're really looking at much more intelligent solutions, things that understand contextual awareness, where people are located, where they are going, what their calendar looks like. Again, Michael presented the idea of the graph. So understanding what everyone is doing on a day-to-day basis in order to provide better insight into what they should be doing. All right, so what do intelligent applications require? So we have a customer in China where we're helping them. And what they have is a web application where they're keeping track of what their online activity is of their customers. They have a common login, as well as they have a mobile payment system, right? So then you want to take that information and feed it into something central. Take a data warehouse, put it into there. Start adding some machine learning to do some predictive capabilities. And then also start doing modeling and tagging of the data that's being collected. We want to go ahead and start adding capabilities to keep track of the transactions that are happening and store those into the data store as well. We want to do search engine optimization, keep track of their advertising, see what should be shown to specific users. Now we want the contextual data. Where are they currently? What's going on? Do they have some other event that we should present them information for? We might want to add cognitive APIs. You may have heard of these. These are looking at what maybe, you know, taking a picture of them and saying, are they happy? Are they sad? What age group do they fall in? Are they male? Are they female? Being able to understand, again, a different view of the user, starting to get this 360 view of each user. And then finally, we want to be able to keep track of what the users are doing with the dashboard and understand what overall the view is of all of our customers. So what do we have here? We have a personalized approach. That's what the user sees. They see that we're somewhat friendly, we're open. As a developer, that means you have to have API to support this, whether it's facial recognition, emotion APIs, be able to interact with them in speech, such as Cortana, 360 awareness of the user, being able to look at the Microsoft Office graph and understand more about the user. You want to be predictive. You want to know what's going on right now, but you want to use that to forecast things. Can you anticipate the needs? So you need to be able to, in real time, take a look at the data that they're presenting to you. And then be able to build models on this. And then things need to be always available. You need management of the data. You need to be able to store large amounts of data. You may need to process it in batch. You may need to process it in real time. And then you need to provide these different experiences across all the different data sets, across all the different devices that users are now using. You can't limit yourself to only their online presence on the web. It's their mobile presence. It may be back inside an Office application. You want to connect all these things together and bring it to them. So how do you go about doing this? How do you build an application that has all these features? And what can you do in terms of cloud, elastic cloud computing, in order to do this? Today I'll be talking about the Cortana Intelligence Suite, really introducing the components that make it up, show examples of how you can make use of it with an example around capturing data from automobiles. So telemetry data coming into the system, being recorded, being analyzed, applying machine learning to it, and then finally producing nice visualizations with it. So what we're going to talk about is the Cortana Intelligence Suite. It's a set of collection of Microsoft services that are managed services available in the cloud on Azure that enable you to add intelligence, actionable analytics, and it is a trusted platform. We have data centers all over the world. We have data centers that are specific to countries, and we have security put in place, and as well as the ability to do encryption. So what is the Intelligence Suite made up of? So again, like I said, there's a lot of components. We'll go over it at a high level, and then we'll sort of go through some demos as we go. We look at this as data ingestion. Data is coming into the system and needs to move through from a variety of sources. It may be on-premise data sources that users have. It may be directly from mobile applications. It could be sensors on their machinery in a factory floor. So all of this data needs to come in, and we can use a variety of mechanisms. If we're talking about ingesting real-time telemetry data, for instance, we would use something like Event Hub, which allows us to queue large amounts of data. There's another piece called IoT Hub that isn't mentioned here that allows you to do command and control. So not only can you ingest the data, but you can talk back to the devices as well. Data catalog is you've got all these data sources, whether they be on-prem or in the cloud, and you want to keep track of them, know what the data models are. You want to be able to have your users search in one place to find metadata about the tables that they're looking at. So data catalog is a way to do that. It just went GA in April this year, so it's fairly recent that it went. It's a public preview before that. Data factory is your orchestration. So it's the means to move data from one place to another, whether it be in Azure or from an on-prem data source. It provides the ability to do scheduled movement. You can do one-time copies of data as well into SQL Server Data Warehouse or Data Lake. But really, Data Factory is about coordinating a series of events, bring in the data, process the data, apply machine learning to that data, return that data back to an on-premise data source. All right, if we move from there, we'll move into big data stores. Now, SQL Server Data Warehouse, as well as Data Lake Store, Blob Store, we have those separate from their analytical capabilities, mainly because one of the things that we're seeing is data storage is relatively cheap. So we want to be able to store large amounts of data, and we talk about this as being petabyte scale and this as being exabyte scale. So both of these are based on technologies that have been long used. SQL Server Data Warehouse, SQL Server most of you are familiar with. And in terms of SQL Server, we've allowed this to scale significantly. And we allow the scaling to happen separately for the data versus the query capability. So not only do you scale large-scale databases, distributed databases, but when you run your queries, you can actually request a larger number of compute units to complete those queries faster than you would normally. So it's an on-demand, scale the slider before you expect execute the query, run the query, and pay for the compute that you use, slide the slider back down, and now you're back to just really paying for the data at that point, storage. Data Lake Store, this comes from an internal project that we've been using for years with Bing, and it's an exabyte scale storage. It actually allows you to do queries across vast amounts of data, federated queries as well, It allows you to go to other data stores such as Azure Blob Storage, SQL Server, and then combine the results and store them off in Data Lake. And again, you have the ability to have compute. That's why big Data Lake Analytics is there in the machine learning, separately from your storage of your data. The other interesting thing with this is it doesn't care about the format of the data. It does not have to be structured data to be stored here. You could store images, JSON files. It really doesn't matter. Oh, one more thing. The Big Lake store, it actually acts as HDFS. So one of the things we did when we made it available outside of Microsoft, it actually appears as if it's HDFS, which means that any of the Hadoop services that you would use, Spark, standard Hadoop, Hive, or anything like that, can actually look at data in Data Lake as well. So it integrates well with any other services. All right, so moving from there, HD Insight. HD Insight is Microsoft's Hadoop instance. We have both Linux as well as Windows versions of it. It's a managed service again, which means you can bring up a cluster for doing Hive, for storing data in HDFS, or you can point to Azure Blob Storage for your data storage. You can run a Spark cluster, and more recently, you can run a Microsoft R server. We purchased Revolution Analytics last year, which does large-scale R processing. So now you can do R as a managed process as well in order to do big-scale data analytics with a Hadoop cluster. The advantage here is, working with Data Factory, you can actually bring up a cluster as part of your workflow. So when you execute a Data Factory workflow and there's an activity in there, the activity can include launching an HD Insight cluster, processing your data, moving it to Blob Storage, and then shutting down the cluster as well in order to minimize the amount of time that the cluster is up, only for the processing time that you're using. Stream Analytics. Stream Analytics is for real-time data, near real-time, low latency. We take data directly from Event Hub, and we can process that data and do queries across it. So with a simple SQL-like query language, you can actually do windowed queries across that data and be able to do averages, moving averages, be able to transform the data. You can also call machine learning from there, and you can write small extensions in JavaScript as well if you want to do additional functionality on the data as it's streaming through. Data Lake Analytics similarly has a language called USQL, Universal SQL, and that's really used for being able to query across this vast data store. Now, when you do these queries, not only do they automatically get distributed, they actually get compiled as C#, C++, and they actually get executed as compiled code that gets distributed across the cluster when it's doing your query. You can write your own extensions as well in C# and deploy them as part of your data lake job. And when you do that, again, that gets compiled in as part of the entire query, and it gets executed across the cluster. So similar to things that you do with Hadoop, you can do the same sort of thing here as well, but deploy your own code in C#. What we've built is a machine learning studio. We have a drag and drop interface that allows you to use both algorithms that we've written from Microsoft Research, Bing, Xbox. Some of our other development teams have used machine learning algorithms for years. We've made those available to you as something that you can execute. In addition, you have the ability to bring in your own R or Python code. The neat thing here is, once you build your machine learning model, you can deploy it as a web service that can be integrated with any application. So if you are, for instance, doing some sort of predictive forecasting, you can actually then integrate that with Stream Analytics as your data is coming through. You can score that in some way or do your prediction and then output that to Power BI or somewhere else, store it in a database. But the machine learning will be demoed in a lot more detail coming up. Finally, we've got this last column of intelligence. So we've got cognitive services, which is what I was talking about earlier, that ability to have vision APIs, image recognition, being able to have speech to text, text to speech, being able to translate languages, being able to do language understanding. We have a toolkit called LUIS, Language Understanding Intent Service. And that actually allows you to extract meaning from phrases that people speak. So take the speech to text, add LUIS to it, and actually be able to do commands. So add those to your applications, add those to your websites, a variety of different ways. And that gets leveraged with the BOT framework, which we announced at Build this year. So the BOT framework allows you to have conversations. It actually manages state. It understands the notion of filling in forms. And so with that BOT framework, you can launch a bot that runs in Skype, I believe Facebook Messenger, Slack, SMS, and texting. So it actually manages that part of the conversation for you. You register your bot in our bot directory. It handles the conversational aspect, keeping track of the user for you. And if you use the form flow, it'll actually manage the state of the form so that when you have interactions with the user, it will allow you to actually do sort of responses. I'm ordering a pizza. What type of crust would you like? I want thin crust. What toppings would you like? And then you can verify at the end, have they filled in everything in the form that would be expected to complete an order? So this type of framework can be used for support, maintenance, doing orders for people. There's a variety of tasks that can be used for. And it has the ability to be plugged into Cortana as well. So you have the ability on the Windows 10 Universal to be able to add an add-in into Cortana based on the bot framework and be able to then start a conversation with Cortana that says, I'd like to buy a pizza, and it knows that somebody's registered a restaurant application and that you can now have a conversation with it in order to order your pizza, for instance, or reserve a room, hotel room. Finally, dashboards and visualization. In the dashboards and visualization area, we have Power BI. Now, some of you have, how many of you have seen Power BI recently? Okay. Oh, good number. So Power BI is changing rapidly. So over the last 2 years, you know, it started from the Power Maps and Power Query within Excel and sort of grew from there, and then it became a web-based application. And so now Power BI actually can be extended. You can write your own visualizations in D3.js, for those of you who are familiar. We provide a wrapper around that allows you to interact with the data sources that we deal with in order to allow data to flow. It can handle real-time data. So stream analytics can directly output to Power BI. So you can actually have streaming data and visualizations that are changing during the course of whatever activity is going on from your users. So there's a lot of capabilities there. A lot of built-in capabilities for creating graphs. But in addition to the built-in graphs, you can do the extensions with D3. And now you can embed those graphs in your own applications as well. So, and you can share the reports on a public web page if you wanted. You have that capability directly from our portal to be able to register yourself to be able to push out those visualizations. The one thing I would like attendees to really remember from the talk is that they can really build practically anything they can imagine with this. They're really only limited by what they think of. What I'm hoping to get from this conference is really people asking a variety of questions afterwards or immediately following the conference, really starting a conversation. The best thing we can do is continue to have that conversation going forward, and that's really what I'm hoping for.